before you, and we thank you for this time that you have allotted to us to gather together, Lord, to have this fellowship, to have this communion with each other and you, to get into your holy word, God. I mean, not everybody gets to do this, but you have chosen us, Lord, to be a part of this. And Father, we just praise your holy name for just all the good that you are to us and in our lives. And Father, I pray for this teaching as we continue in the Epistle of James, that you would anoint it. It's basic, it's elementary, it's simple. And I just ask, Father, speak to us mightily, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So we're going to be looking at James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. I broke James chapter 1 down like this because there are so many things here that I've dealt with through years of counseling, and inquiry minds want to know. People want to know. I titled this, Where Does Temptation Come From? Where does it come from? So the wisdom James is speaking about is using the knowledge God has given to us in his word and also through others by biblical counseling. I think sometimes we need to stop and just ask ourselves, where is our faith that God is capable of working everything out? I mean, we say we believe in God, but we believe he's working it out. But then what happens is we deal with it ourselves instead of waiting on God to bring us through it. God wants us to be mature, but he also wants our decisions to be based on his word. That's why, again, it is so relevant to be in God's word on a daily basis. How are you going to base your decision on his word if you're not in his word? We concluded last time with verse 12. James spoke of temptation. The word temptation is used in two ways. It's testing under trial, and it's leading to evil. So people often say God is testing them when the fact is God wasn't doing anything at all. So we need to understand that God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. Christians find this hard to understand. So we end up blaming God for things that are going on in our lives, and he's not even responsible for it. Someone said, every temptation that we meet in the path of duty is another chance of filling our souls with the power of heaven. I love that. Filling our souls with the power of heaven. Let's go ahead and look at verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. We've been studying. God tests us because we are his kids. We are his children. I mean, he sealed us when we became a born-again believer. We are sealed with God's Spirit. Think about that. No one has ever seen God. God is Spirit. Those who worship him in spirit and truth. God sent a part of him that we know as the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of us. He sealed us. We are going to heaven, hands down. You don't have to double question that. So James now clarifies it with saying, God will never test or tempt us with evil or sin. A better translation of verse 13 is, let not one man being tempted say, I am tempted of God. You see, our natural response, of course, is to blame God for what's going on in our lives. The fact is, from the beginning, since the fall, when man fell into sin, this is what's been going on. It's what's been happening. There in Genesis 3, verse 12, Adam said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. I mean, from the very get out of the gate, the passing of the buck, it started right here. Eve did the same thing in Genesis 3:13. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." You know, in looking at the text in Genesis, it is clear that all three of them were responsible. Adam, Eve, and the serpent. Any one of them could have refused the temptation. How many times have you heard someone say, "Why does God allow war? Why are there earthquakes that kill people? Why does he allow babies to be killed?" And the list goes on and on and on. The problem is we blame God for the consequences of the sin and the greediness of man. Here's the facts. What's responsible for everything that happens on this earth is sin. It's because of sin. I mean, the scripture is very specific. There is no evil in God because in him everything is good. Everything is light. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Not some sin, not most sin, all sin. Have you ever thought of the fact that Jesus could not sin? Think about that. 33 years he lived on this earth. He dwelt among us. He never even had a bad thought. Can you imagine that? No cussing ever came out of his mouth. He never wanted to get even with somebody. I can't even comprehend that. Jesus said to Satan in Matthew 4:7, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." God's whole desire is to save us from sin. That, of course, means he would never tempt us to sin. It's just the opposite. God delivers us from sin. This morning, I want to be very clear about this. God will never use sin as a test. He will allow it, as we're going to see. I know it's hard to understand, but Jesus had no sin in him. He did say in John 14:30, "I will no longer talk with you much, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." Think about that a moment. The reason why Jesus was tempted was to prove there was no sin at all in Jesus. That's why he was tempted. Satan's temptation appealed to man's whole being. Man's whole makeup, the physical, the mental, the spiritual. The thing with Jesus, he couldn't fall, which means the testing was given to demonstrate that he could not fall. Here's the deal. If Jesus could have fallen, then our salvation could fall apart any moment. It'd be done. It'd be over. The moment Jesus would have yielded to sin, we wouldn't have had a Savior to save us. Christ was tested to prove we have a Savior who could not sin. So it comes down to this. Even though God can't be tempted with sin, and God won't tempt you with sin, God does allow us to be tempted with sin. He allows it. William Barclay said, "God tested Abraham. Temptation is not meant to make us fail. It's meant to confront us with a situation out of which we emerge stronger than we were before. Temptation is not the penalty of manhood. It's the glory of manhood." In 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, we read, "Again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, 'Go number Israel and Judah.' Now we know and understand that it was sinful. But here's the question. Does this scripture mean God tempted David with evil?" Well, to understand what's going on, we really need to get the whole skinny on what's happening here. In 2 Samuel, you have man writing what took place. It looks like God was angry with Israel and had David number the people. But then when you read in 1 Chronicles, we're given a little bit of insight as to what God was doing in chapter 21, verse 1. You ready for this? "Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." So who really was it that provoked David to sin? Was it Satan? It was Satan. It wasn't God. God only allowed Satan to do that because he was angry with Israel and their sin. But God wasn't the one who tempted David with evil, nor does he tempt men with evil. So who is responsible for leading us to evil and what causes us to sin? Verse 14, James brings out the sins of the flesh. We are responsible when we are drawn away to do evil because we are yielding and giving in to the evil temptation. A wise person said, "Temptations are like bums. Treat one nice and he'll return with his friends." I totally get that. I mean, it's not wise to say God is responsible or the devil is responsible when the bottom line is we're responsible. Some might be tempted with alcohol, another with drugs. Another might be tempted in the area of sex. What James is saying, the problem is within each individual person. When you really think about it, nothing nor anyone can make us sin because the trouble is with us. It's the old nature we still have. We got to quit blaming God and everyone else and look at ourselves and realize many times we are the problem. I love Proverbs 23:7. "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." James uses something interesting here. He says when desire has conceived, it actually means to become pregnant. Conception is a coming together or union of two people. It's talking of the desire of your old nature coming together with the temptation and it becoming sin. Right away, I thought of what Jesus said in Matthew 5:22. He said, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." In other words, if you're angry with your brother, you're guilty of murder. The reason is because it begins in the heart and then moves into action. You do it. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 5:28, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Again, it begins in our hearts. That's where sin always begins. You've probably heard the saying, I've mentioned it a few times, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. People have asked me through the years, is temptation sin? I have to answer, no, temptation is not sin. It's when conception takes place. It's when the thought in the heart is carried out in action. That's when that temptation becomes sin. There's a proverb that says, An idle person tempts the devil to tempt him. Billy Sunday said, temptation is a devil looking through the keyhole. Yielding is opening the door and inviting him in. You guys getting a picture here? I believe it's safe to say every one of us have an evil nature. I can't believe you said that, Rick. Well, I didn't say it. The Bible says it. We've all been tempted to do evil because every one of us is weak in our flesh. When the evil thought in the heart is united to the outward temptation, there is a birth that takes place, a birth of the act, a birth of sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, there are three kinds of death spoken of in Scripture. Of course, the first one is physical death. That's going to come to every one of us. 10 out of 10 of us are going to die unless the rapture of the church takes place. Then there's spiritual death, which is the condition of those who are lost. They are spiritually dead. Finally, there's eternal death. Man receives this when he dies as an unbeliever. It's eternal separation from God in everlasting condemnation. The word death here is speaking of separation. When sin comes to birth in our life, when it becomes an action, our fellowship with God is broken and there is a separation that takes place. In 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7, we talked about God being light and that Christ cleanses us from all sin. So the bottom line is, you can't have fellowship with God and allow sin to continually rule and take place in your life. You can't do that. You know, Rome didn't fall to someone conquering it. Rome fell from within because its people were sinful. They were a wicked people. Something that's always bothered me, and I don't have the slightest idea where people are coming from when they think they can sin and get away with it. Sin brings forth separation of fellowship with God and man. And the fact is, God will judge us for it unless we judge ourselves. Remember, Paul wrote about that when he was talking about partaking of the juice and the bread, communion, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If we're in sin or we've done something sinful and we don't confess it to God and come clean, then God is forced to judge us. I've heard so many Christians say through the years, man, the devil is really tempting me, Rick. Or the devil made me do it. Remember laughing, Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. I mean, I tell them the devil isn't making you do anything, so quit sniveling and blaming him. It's you. We got to get this right. Temptation can't conceive until it unites with the desire of our evil and wicked nature. At that point, we sin. And the scripture is plain. Sin brings forth death. Let me close with something Erwin Lutzer said. He said, temptation is God's magnifying glass. It shows us how much work he has left to do in our lives. I love that. When we give in, we fail. When we overcome, we pass. Father, we come before you and we thank you for the things you showed us on temptation and where it comes from, Lord. We understand that it's from us. We're the ones because we're sinful. We have an evil heart. Jeremiah tells us in your word, Lord, that our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know it, Lord. You test our hearts. You test our hearts. And we see where our faith is and how strong we are in you, depending on if we give into that sin or if we overcome. Father, just like you told Cain, sin's desire is for him, but he should rule over it. And that's what we need to be doing. So God, thank you for this teaching. And God, I pray that we would remember these things, because temptation will probably come within the next couple hours. It just continues. Satan is out to destroy us. He hates you, God, and he hates us because we are created in your image. Help us to remember that, Lord. We love you and we thank you. We commit everything now into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.